So today we are having her grace Preeti Vlasmi Mataji to give us the nectarian pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. Today is the eighth part of Yuddhakanda, and today she will cover like Indrajit killed by Lakshmana, Ravan faces Rama. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association to all of us and for your beautiful experience pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. So Mataji, now you can take over the class. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. My dandavats to everyone on the call. So we are continuing to see from Srimad Valmiki Ramayan, and today we will continue Yuddhakanda part 8. So I'll start over the prayer. ओम अज्ञानति निरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितमेन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते किरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं नमः ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमती राधानाथस्वामी नामने नमः ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामी नामने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवास आदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे पूजन्तं राम रामेति मधुरं मधुराक्षरम् आरुह्य कविता शाखां वन्दे वाल्मीकि कोकिलम् वाल्मीकेर् मुनिसिंहस्य कवितावनचारिणा श्रृण्वन् रामकथानाथं कोनयाति परं गतिम् वेदवेद्ये परे पुंसि जाते दशरथात्मजे वेदप्राचेतसा दासीत् साक्षात् रामायणात्मना अञ्जनानन्दनं वीरं जानकी शोकनाशनं कपीशमक्षहन्तारं वन्दे लङ्काभयङ्करम् मनोजवं मारुततुल्यवेगं जितेन्द्रियं बुद्धिमतं वरिष्ठं वातात्मजं वानरयूतमुख्यं श्रीरामदूतं शिवसा नमामि आञ्जनेयमधिपाटनालनं काञ्चनाद्रिकमनीयविग्रहं पारिजातकरुमूलवासिनं भावयामि पवमाननन्दनं यत्र यत्र रघुनाथकीर्तनं तत्र तत्र कृतमस्तकाञ्जलिं भाष्पवारि परिपूर्णलोचनं मारुतिं नमत राक्षसान्तकं श्रीराघवं दशरथात्मजमप्रमेयं सीतापतिं रघुकुलान्मय रत्नदीपम् आजानुबाहुम् अरविन्ददयालदाक्षं रामं दिशाचर विनाशकं नमामि हरे कृष्ण. So in the previous class, we stopped at a point where Indrajit went to perform this Nikumbila sacrifice in that arena called as Nikumbila under a particular tree. And Vibhishan, he suggested to Ram and Lakshman that this Indrajit must be stopped before he completes this yajna. Because if he manages to complete this yajna, he'll come back 10 times stronger. So Lakshman, Hanuman, Jambavan and others, they proceeded towards the sacrificial arena where Indrajit was performing the sacrifice. So basically, these Vanara chiefs headed by Lakshman, all of them, they had to penetrate a huge army of demons before they could reach this area and they could catch sight of Indrajit. So first Hanuman, he went forward and he started attacking several demons who were guarding this area. And because of all the turmoil that was caused, Indrajit got distracted and he came out from this arena. He came out very angry and he commanded all his warriors to somehow kill Hanuman. So like this, Hanuman was giving a good fight, and also Vibhishan, Lakshman, everyone, they marched forward and they successfully managed to stop this major sacrifice that could make Indrajit invincible. So this is where we stopped in the previous class. So we'll take from there and continue. Now, Indrajit, he is so great, actually. He's the son of Ravan. Not only that, he's also coming in the descendant, I mean, he's coming in the lineage of sage Pulastya, and he had conquered Indra, so his name became Indrajit. He is someone who had never been conquered before. So this great Indrajit, he came within the sight of Lakshman. And when Lakshman saw Indrajit, he called out to Indrajit. He said, "Hey Indrajit, I am inviting you for a fight. So today you give me a good battle." And then Indrajit saw Lakshman and he saw Vibhishan, his uncle, standing next to Lakshman. He got very, very angry. So seeing Vibhishan there, he was very angry with Vibhishan that Vibhishan had brought Lakshman here. So he got very angry with Vibhishan and he told him, "Hey demon, my uncle Vibhishan, you're born and you're brought up here in Lanka amidst the entire demoniac race and knowing all my secrets, that after completing this yajna, I'm going to come back really powerful. You managed to bring Lakshman here and all these vanaras to disturb my sacrifice before I can complete it. You're such a traitor. You're a direct brother of my father and my own paternal uncle. And how can you be so hostile to a son? I'm like your son, and how can you behave like this to me? You don't have any loyalty to your brother or to this entire demoniac race. What kind of person are you?" So he started asking these questions to his uncle Vibhishan, who managed to bring all these people there to stop his sacrifice. So on hearing these words of Indrajit, who's his nephew, Vibhishan told him, "Hey demon Indrajit, your words are actually so illogical. You're talking like as if you're not aware of my nature. Like you're acting like as if I have developed this character overnight. It has always been my character. At least out of respect for your elders, give up such talk. Even if I am born in a demoniac race that does all kinds of cruel acts, my nature is of goodness. And I belong to the demoniac race, but I'm not demoniac in nature. That is my nature, and you're very well aware of this. I don't take any pleasure in these cruel and unrighteous acts. So, okay, tell me this. So, although I belong to a family of demons, how can a brother, a younger brother, be driven away by his own elder brother just because his nature is a little different? My nature has always been like this, and I've been true to my nature. Why did he send me out of the kingdom? Actually, you know what? I'm so happy that I went away from all of your company. In fact, all the wise men, they say that an evil-natured fellow whose intent is on taking away others' property, who lustfully touches another person's wife, he's totally worth giving up. Just like one abandons a house that has caught fire. He's done so much sins. So much sins. He's killed great sages. He's waged war against demigods. So arrogant. He becomes angry very easily. He's so quarrelsome. Ill will, bad qualities. All these he's got. And all these sins and bad qualities of Ravan has actually concealed the little good qualities he has here and there. Just like how clouds conceal a huge mountain. Because of these bad qualities of Ravan, who's your father and my brother, have given up the relationship with him. So neither the city of Lanka, nor you, or your father are going to exist anymore. Now come, face Lakshman's arrow, and you will not return alive with your army today. So when Indrajit heard these words from his uncle Vibhishan, and he saw Lakshman standing there, Indrajit rushed towards Lakshmana, and he started fighting with him. Now Indrajit, he fought from his chariot. So he was at a little height. He was fighting from his chariot. So Lakshman ascended the shoulders of Hanuman to give Indrajit a good fight. So then Indrajit very heroically, he started shooting arrows. And he pierced Lakshman with several arrows. And Lakshmana was bleeding profusely. And a fierce battle of archery started between Lakshman and Indrajit. Indrajit in fact told Lakshman, "You remember, I've already defeated you once. So are you going to die now? Why are you coming here and unnecessarily calling me for a war?" Because Indrajit had already tied him once with the Nagastra. So he was reminding Lakshman, "I'm so great, I've already defeated you, and why do you come back again?" But then Lakshmana, he gives a good fight. He stays unmoved, and he continues to shoot Indrajit. Indrajit strikes Lakshman with 7 arrows, Hanuman with 10 arrows, and Vibhishan with 100 arrows almost at the same time because the prime enemies he was attacking. And in retaliation, Lakshman struck Indrajit with multiple arrows, and Indrajit's armor broke up into pieces. So Indrajit, in response, he struck Lakshman with 1,000 arrows and broke up Lakshman's armor. So like this, a fierce fight was going on for a very long time. And meanwhile, Vibhishan joined the battlefield just to relieve Lakshman whenever he was fatigued. And like this, Vibhishan, he was destroying many, many demons. And he was also speaking very encouraging words to all the Vanara chiefs, asking them to carry on the battle against the demons. So the Vanaras, they start furiously attacking all these demons. And finally, Lakshman, takes a thunderbolt-like arrow called Balla, which is yellow in color, and he aims it at Indrajit's charioteer, and Indrajit's charioteer's head was removed from his body, severed from his body. And seeing that his charioteer had fallen dead, Indrajit, who was such an expert warrior, he did the charioteering himself. So he took out his bow in one hand, and he held the reins of the horses in the other, and he was charioteering the himself, and he was fighting meanwhile. So then what happened was four excellent Vanara chiefs, who were Pramati, Rishabha, Sharabha, and Gandhamandana, they all attacked Indrajit's horses, and they destroyed the chariot on which he was riding. Then Indrajit came on foot, and he started shuddering arrows at Lakshman. So gradually, Indrajit, he was seeing that he was getting a little less powerful because his charioteer had gone, his horses were gone, and now he was on foot trying to fight with Lakshman. So slowly, Indrajit, he moved away from Lakshman and he called out to some of his demoniac associates who were around him and told them, see, now it's getting a little dark. I'm hardly able to recognize who's on our side and who's on the side of our enemy. So you all continue to fight, courageously fight, divert all the Vanaras and also divert the attention of Lakshman. Before they realize that I'm gone, I will go inside the city of Lanka and come back really fast riding on a new chariot. I really don't want to continue the fighting like this without my chariot. I really need my chariot. So you people continue the fight and I will go inside and come back quickly. So saying that, before everybody could really pay their attention on Indrajit, Indrajit managed to somehow escape and he went to Lanka and he brought another chariot with him. So once he came back with his new chariot, he started attacking the Vanaras with full force, very, very severely. And all the Vanaras seeing Indrajit coming back in full force with a new chariot, they all went and took refuge in Lakshmana. Now, Indrajit and Lakshman, they continue again a fierce battle with their bows and arrows. And Lakshman destroys Indrajit's chariot. Indrajit strikes three arrows in Lakshman's forehead. And Lakshman strikes five arrows on Indrajit's face. So when Indrajit actually strikes Vibhishan with his arrows, Vibhishan again kills Indrajit's horses. So the second chariot, again horses are killed. And after a very long fight, hitting an Aindrastra, Lakshman, he addressed a prayer to Indra, who presides over this weapon, Aindrastra weapon. Now, what is the prayer that Lakshman recited? He said, Dharmatma Satyasandascha Ramo Dhasharati Yadi Paurushe Chapratida Dvanda Vastadena Jahiravani. Oh, my dear arrow, he took the Aindrastra, he said to the Aindrastra, oh, my dear arrow, if Ram, the son of Dasharath, has set his mind always on dharma, if he keeps us his promise, and if he is second to none in all the power that he's had, destroy this Indrajit. So saying like that, he drew up the arrow to his ear, and Lakshman released it towards Indrajit, and it went and struck Indrajit's head, and Indrajit's head got separated from his body. Moistened with blood, it fell down on the ground, shining like a huge ball of gold. So like this, Indrajit was killed, and all the Vanaras, along with Vibhishan, they all rejoiced and they roared in happiness. Just like how the demigods once upon a time rejoiced when Dhritarasura, the demon, was killed. So a similar mood was seen in the battlefield. So a shout of victory arose in the sky from all the demigods, the sages, Gandharvas, Apsaras. All of them were so happy. abandoning their weapons and being struck by the Vanaras, all the demons, seeing Indrajit fallen down, ran towards Lanka. Some of them, they were even tormented by the Vanaras. They were so scared. Some of them went into Lanka. Some of them went and fell into the ocean. Some of them took refuge of the mountain. So just like how sun rays don't exist when the sun has sunk below the horizon, so the demons, they left into different directions when they saw that their great prince Indrajit was fallen down. So while that Indrajit, who was a terror to all the three worlds, had fallen down, the waters in the sky became very, very clear. Everyone was so happy. All auspicious things were seen. Everyone was so happy that now, finally, all the Brahmanas can perform their duties without any hindrance from this evil Indrajit. So Vibhishan, Hanuman, Jambavan, all of them, they were so happy with Lakshman for his victory. And they applauded him, wagging and lashing their tails. All the Vanaras shouted, Jai Lakshmana, Jai Lakshmana. And Lakshman and Vibhishan, they were all so happy. They went running and they approached Ram and informed him that Indrajit's head has been chopped off and Indrajit is finally dead. Ram was so happy. He was so happy. He said, Lakshman, very well done. Actually, such a difficult task has been done by you. This is such a big victory. He called Lakshman close to him. He smelled his head and he told Lakshman, I'm so proud of you. And Lakshman was feeling so shy to hear himself praised. And out of his humility, he was trying to hold back. And Ram forcibly pulled him towards him and put him on his lap with affection and embraced him and gazed upon him with so much affection again and again. So smelling the head of Lakshman, who was feeling so tormented by all these arrows that had gone inside his body, he was so wounded. He was breathing so hard. He was in real agony, actually, Lakshman. But Ram, he was smelling his head and he was patting him. And he stroked him with a lot of affection. And then Ram told Lakshman, such a tremendous task you have done. If Indrajit is killed, that means Ravana is almost dead. So in the course of 3 days and three nights, you managed to somehow or the other kill Indrajit. Now I have been made free from my enemies. So now Ravana will come. He will come to the battlefield because his son is no more. His greatest pillar is no more. So now Ravana will come and this will be the end of the war. So then he called Sushena, who was the doctor on call there in the battlefield, the great Vanara doctor. He called him and he told him, Sushena, you have to attend to Lakshmana because Lakshmana is like really, really wounded. So make sure that he's restored back to good health. So he gave orders to Sushena to make Lakshman, Vibhishan and all the other Vanara and Bear warriors who were fighting so severely with Indrajit and they were all very wounded. So he told Sushena, please make sure that they are all healed and they come back with full glow. You know, they are back restored well. So as commanded by Ram, this doctor Sushena, he gave very good medicine through the nose of Lakshman. So inhaling the odor of those herbs, Lakshman became healed of the arrow wounds and he was free from all the pains and his wounds all got completely cured. Very magical herbs. So he got completely cured. And also the Vanaras and Vibhishan and Jambavan, all of them were cured of their wounds. So all their fatigue were gone and they no more felt feverish and they were all happy. They restored their original strength and vigor and they felt very, very rejuvenated. Ram and Sugriv, they were extremely happy by the killing of Indrajit. Now, when the news that his dear son Indrajit is dead, when this news reached Ravana, he was so shocked. He was totally distressed. He just couldn't believe that Indrajit was no more. He got so angry with red, hot, angry eyes. Drops of tears was falling down from his eyes. Just like how drops of oil with flames fall down from blazing lamps. So you might have seen this when the lamp has a lot of oil and it's blazing. When the lamp is blazing heavily, sometimes drops of oil fall down. Red, it'll be really, really hot. So like that, drops of tears was falling down from Ravana's eyes. And he started grinding his teeth in anger. And the sound of his teeth produced from the friction of the teeth that was grinding was like as if these demons were moving large machinery. They were dragging large machinery. That much sound was coming out from the anger of the grinding of teeth of Ravana. And his two large eyebrows that were joined together on his forehead, it looked like an ocean at the time of dissolution of the world. Even the demons were so frightened with Ravana's reaction, and they ran away in all directions and they went and hid, and unable to see the face of Ravana. Then Ravana shouted out, "Bring that large bow of mine which was given to me along with my arrows and my armor by Lord Brahma. Take it out. I'm going to use it now for the purpose of killing this Ram and Lakshman in this great battle. They have killed my son." My dear Indrajit, he played a trick on the Vanaras. He created that illusory Sita and he showed that that illusory Sita was severed. But today, I will make that hoax into a hard reality. This Sita, I am going to go and kill her first. She is so devoted to Ram. She is the cause of everything that has happened to me, everything that has happened to Lanka, everything that has happened to this entire demoniac race. So I will go kill her right now. And Ravana, he swiftly took forth his sword, and thinking about what all has happened from the beginning, he decides to go and kill Sita, who was the root cause of all his trouble. So Ravana, with sword in his hand, he rushed forward to the Ashoka garden. See, all this while, Ravana never even thought of harming Sita. In fact, even we saw in the previous class how Vibhishan was telling all this Maya Sita, that illusory image that Indrajit created, all that is just a hoax because he'll never think of killing Sita because he's so obsessed with Sita. But at this point, when Ravana lost Indrajit, he didn't know what was happening to him. So he thought, okay, this is it, this is the limit, I will kill the Sita. So with a sword in his hand, he rushed towards the Ashoka garden, and Sita saw Ravana rushing towards her like that, and she began to lament and cry. And she was wondering, why is this Ravana coming towards me? So she was lamenting. She was telling herself, oh, from the manner in which this fellow is rushing towards me in anger, I think this evil-minded demon is going to kill me. Maybe he has killed the brothers Ram and Lakshman today in battle because of me. Oh, am I responsible for everything that has happened? If Ram and Lakshman have been killed, it is solely because of me. Or maybe actually Ram and Lakshman are not being killed by Ravan. How can Ravan kill Ram and Lakshman? But maybe he's going to kill me today because his son Indrajit is dead and he's grieving over his son. Unable to control his anger because his dearest son is dead, he's trying to come and kill me. So then she thought, I did a very big mistake. Hanuman pleaded with me to leave with him when he spotted me for the first time. If I had listened to Hanuman and left on that day on his back, though not won by my husband Ram, I would have not been grieving like this today. I should be resting on the lap of my husband by now if I had agreed to what Hanuman told. The heart of Kausalya will burst now. She had only one son. If something has happened to Ram, her heart will burst and she will be devastated. All because of that evil Manthara. All because of her, Mother Kausalya is now suffering. Like this, Sita was, she was so upset and she was telling all these things to herself. And seeing Sita in this condition, a minister called Suparshva, he was very good-natured, he was straightforward and very intelligent, though he was a demon. So he called out to Ravana and he told Ravana, "Ravana, stop, stop. You are the younger brother of Kubera. You are born in the lineage of Pulitzya, such great sages. Why do you think of killing Sita as a woman? Just because you are so angry, you are not thinking at all. Why are you thinking of destroying a lady? You are so well-versed in all the Vedic scriptures. Leave a woman and release your anger in the battle in front of Ram. You go forth on a battle tomorrow, take your sword, take your weapons, go on your chariot, and you can go and show your anger there in the battlefield. Go and kill Ram. Then you can happily take Sita. Why are you trying to kill a woman like this? So when Ravana was stopped by his minister, Ravana thought for a second, and he thought this is actually a correct advice. Even at that time, say, Ravana was such a great demon. He had all this lust, anger, greed, everything. But still, when he heard this advice, he thought it was logical. He's thinking, yes, that's true. Why should I kill a woman? I'll go and face him in the battle. So accepting that good advice of his minister, which was full of justice, Ravana, he went back to his palace. Then he went back to his palace and he gave appropriate commands to all the warriors that tomorrow Ram must be killed. And as per Ravana's command, first his army marched towards the battlefield. Okay, first he sent his army fully equipped. He said, now all of you go and attack Ram. He must be killed. So when all the demons of the special force of Ravan, they went to the battlefield, they started attacking the Vanaras with various weapons, and the Vanaras, not knowing what to do, because all these demons had come back to the battlefield with so much power, and they were also angry because their dear Prince Indrajit was no more. So they were coming back with full force, and the Vanaras, not knowing what to do, they went and ran and sought refuge at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Ram. And Ram, he got so angry at what was happening to his dear devotees, and he marched forward and he started shooting very, very powerful arrows at the demons. So this is when the demons, they saw Lord Ram performing some of the most wondrous deeds that no one can perform except the Supreme Lord. Ram, he was moving in the speed of wind and he was shooting out so many arrows at the demons, and the demons could hardly see where he was. They saw the army torn apart and pierced by arrows and so scorched and broken down and tormented by the missiles of Ram. In fact, they couldn't even see Ram, who was so swift in his movement. He was so, such an expert in martial arts that they could hardly see where Ram was moving. And all that they could see as they were seeing arrows hitting their bodies. Just like how living beings are not able to see their individual souls resting in their body. So similarly, these demons, they couldn't see where Ram was standing, but all they could see was the arrows falling on them. So all the demons were screaming. Some demons were saying, Ram is here, he's killing the elephant. Some demons were telling, Ram is there, he's destroying the chariot. Ram is killing the foot soldiers. Like that, they were seeing Ram in all directions, and only the sharp arrows were attacking them nonstop. So the demons got so bewildered, and they were trying to attack Ram, but every time they thought they caught sight of Ram and they released an arrow, they ended up attacking each other. They ended up shooting the arrow on each other rather than shooting the arrow on Ram. Because Ram, he so skillfully used his Gandharva Astra, and he bewildered everybody, and he was extremely swift. He was seen in all directions. And these demons on their part, they saw thousands of Rams in the battlefield, while at other times, they saw only one Ram in the battlefield. So like this, all the created beings there, they saw Ram in the form of a discus, the Sudarshan Chakra, which was killing demons in the battlefield, just like how the wheel of time attacks everybody. So within a matter of 3 hours, with his arrows looking like flames, Ram killed so many demons who were capable of changing their form at will. So Ram, he exhibited his supreme power and authority there in the battlefield. So he destroyed 10,000 chariots, which were extremely swift, 18,000 strong elephants, 14,000 horses, and full 2 lakh demons fighting on foot. When everyone saw this miraculous fight of Lord Ram, all the demigods, they cried out, Jai Shri Ram! Everyone screamed out, Jai Shri Ram! So many demons were killed, and everybody was severely hurt. So tons and tons of demons and horses and chariots, they were all destroyed. Now, back in the city of Lanka, All the female demons, they began to lament so much over the death of their husbands and their relatives in the battle. So they started blaming Shurpanakha for being the prime cause of bringing Sita to Lanka forcibly by Ram, and all this battle that has happened with Ram after that. So they complained about Shurpanakha. How this ugly face Shurpanakha, who doesn't have any good virtue, she dared to approach Ram, who's full of virtues, who's endowed with so much bodily strength, who has a beautiful face. How did this Shurpanakha dare go and ask him out of love? Because of the ill luck of these people, all this destruction has happened to the demons. Everything because of this disgusting woman, Shurpanakha. She was arrogant with Ram, and now we are all suffering. Ravana cannot obtain Sita. She is the daughter of Janaka. She is the wife of Ram. Because of this, because of Ravana bringing her here, the only thing we have obtained is endless enmity with Ram. Ram killed 14,000 demons. He killed Kabanda. Ram killed Vali, the son of Indra. So many things Ram has done. These instances should have been sufficient to open the eyes of Ravana. Why did Ravana do this? So like this, all the female demons, they felt so sad at what had happened. They were telling, if Ravana had agreed, if he had listened to the advice given by Vibhishan, we wouldn't have been suffering today. So they all glorified Ram and they blasphemed Shurpanakha, and also they blamed Ravana for the misfortune that they were having now. So they told, actually, Vibhishan has done something very good. He went and sought refuge of Ram. He's very wise. Ravan is not able to learn a lesson even after hearing that Kumbhakarna was killed in the battle. After seeing that Kumbhakarna was killed in the battle, at least Ravan should have understood that Ram cannot be conquered like this. Not only Kumbhakarna, even Indrajit is dead. Still, Ravana won't learn a lesson. So like this, they were lamenting and lamenting, and they could all perceive bad omens, and they all predicted that even Ravana is going to die. So then they also recollect an instance where all the demigods, they went and prayed to Lord Shiva long time in the past, and they all got a boon that a woman who is the daughter of Janaka, Sita, will be born and she will be the cause of the destruction of the entire demons in Lanka. So they recollected all these things, and all the female demons, they were embracing each other in their arms, and afflicted with so much grief and tormented with fear, they all lamented and wept so loudly. They wept so much that their weeping was heard in the palace of Ravana. So in masses, all the women came and striking their breasts, they were all weeping and weeping and lamenting for the losses that they had seen. Now, on seeing the sight of these female demons afflicted with grief in the houses of Lanka and weeping so loudly, Ravana was so enraged. He was so angry. He was so enraged. He ordered all his generals to tell your armies to set out for the battle immediately, and Raman promised that he himself today will take revenge on Ram and Lakshman and also all the Vanara chiefs in the battle. So Ravana decided to go to the battlefield along with all his demoniac warriors. So all of them marched into the battlefield where Ram and Lakshman were there. And when they were marching into the battlefield, as usual, all bad omens were seen when Ravana was going. So on hearing the noise of all the demons who were entering the battlefield, all the Vanaras, they also go and attack the demons. Now a tumultuous fight started between Vanaras and the demons. And Ravana fought very fiercely with the Vanaras. So he destroyed some Vanaras very easily in the battlefield. And Ram tried to approach Ram to continue his fight. So while he was trying to approach Ram, meanwhile Sugriva along with some of the Vanaras, they attacked some of the chiefs of the demons who were trying to destroy them. So at this time when Ravana came, now most of his warriors are dead. Indrajit is gone, Kumbhakarna is gone, all the chief warriors are gone. But then there were some others who came with Ravana who were not yet dead. They were Virupaksha, Mahodhara, and one more person. Virupaksha, Mahodhara, and Mahaparshva. So these three demons were still left. So they all came with Ravana at this time. And Sugriva, he killed Virupaksha by violently slapping him. Then Mahodhara created a lot of havoc. Sugriva attacked Mahodhara. First he killed the horses of Mahodhara. And then he fought, when Mahodhara was trying to fight with weapons, he started destroying the weapons. They wrestled with each other. And then finally Sugriva took the sword of Mahodhara and cut off Mahodhara's head. So then when Mahaparshva came and he tried to torment the Vanaras, Angada came forward to their rescue, and Jambavan also entered that arena, and Jambavan broke the chariot and horses of Mahaparshva. Then Angada knocks him down, taking his own bow, and he knocked his head, took out his helmet, and gave him a tight slap, and Mahaparshva was dead. So, like this, these three great warriors, final three, were also gone. Now, seeing Mahodhara, Mahaparshva, and all these demons being killed, now Ravana got again very angry, and he told his charioteer that these two princes, Ram and Lakshman, they are doing too much. Today, I'm really going to remove all the sorrow that has been caused by them. I will cut down this huge tree in the shape of Ram, which is going to yield the fruit through the flower in the form of Sita, whose principal branches are Sugriva, Jambavan, Kumuda, Nala, Dvivida, Mainda, Angada, Gandhamadana, Hanuman, Tushena, and all the chiefs of the warriors. I'm going to go and kill them today. So then he went forward and he took out his favorite weapon called Sthamasa. So using this weapon, the Sthamasa weapon, it got released and it went and consumed all the Vanaras. All the Vanaras were falling down in all directions, and dust began to fly up from the earth, and all the Vanaras were so frustrated and they were fleeing away. They could no longer bear this missile that was given by Lord Brahma to Ravana. So seeing the hundreds and thousands of Vanaras being shattered by this arrow of Thamasa, Ram took his stand and he was now ready to face Ravana face to face. So driven away, these Vanaras were simply driven away by Ravana, and Ram thought this is the time. So Ram, he went forward along with his brother Lakshmana, and he stood in front of Ravana extending his bow. Now when the sound of the bow of Ravana and his arrows was heard, and also the twanging of the bow of Ram and Lakshman, the whole world was stunned and everyone was looking what was going to happen now. So at that time, Ravana, he went and Lakshmana stopped him first. So Ravana, when he started shooting arrows, Lakshmana with his arrow started attacking Ravana. So Ravana, he split the arrows of Lakshmana. When Lakshmana shot one arrow, Ravana split it with one. When he shot three, Ravana split it with three. When he shot 10 arrows, Ravana split it with 10 arrows. So like this, Lakshmana was first blocking him. But then overpassing Lakshmana, Ravana finally, he approached Ram. So seeing Ram, Ravan with red hot eyes, he released a stream of arrows on Ram. And just on seeing these streams of arrows coming forth like that, loosened from Ravana's bow, Ram quickly seized hold of his balla arrows. Now this balla is a variety of arrows that has a crescent-shaped head, which is yellowish in color. So then Ram, he tore off those thousands of arrows that were blazing and looking so terrific that were coming from Ravana. And Ram quickly shivered Ravana with different kinds of arrows, stopping all the arrows of Ravana. So the whole sky became so dense with various kinds of arrows as if the entire sky was covered with monsoon clouds that were crowned with lightning. So like that, everywhere, arrows, arrows, arrows. A great combat was between Ram and Ravana, and both of them were so bent upon killing each other. So the battle was really unimaginable and unapproachable. It was like no other battle that had ever taken place. Yeah? So Ravana, he who made the entire world cry, was releasing steel arrows on Ram's forehead. And Ram, he took up his arrows, he recited a sacred mantra for the Rudra Astra, and he released the Rudra Astra on Ravana. Now this Rudra Astra, it went and hit Ravana, but it could not break the armor of Ravana. So they actually caused no harm to him. So seeing this, Ram released 5 more arrows with serpent heads, and Ravana released the Asurastra to combat these arrows. So like this, basically we were fighting very intensely with different kinds of arrows. There's a lot of description in Valmiki Ramayana. I'll just read some interesting descriptions. Ravana, he released sharp arrows having the heads of lions, tigers, crows, vultures, falcons, jackals, wolves, head of donkeys, head of boars, dogs, cocks, alligators and venomous snakes. And all these arrows with their mouths wide open, they came towards Ram to devour Ram. But Ram employed various kinds of arrows with heads as bright as fire, heads shining like the sun, moon, crescent moon, comet, others like shining planets and other lunar mansions, and a huge meteor, and some arrows even resembled flashes of lightning. So when the arrows of Ravana and Ram met in the sky, they shattered with each other and they broke down into thousands of pieces. So I just know how we have seen these in India, these television soaps where we see these beautiful animations of the fights between Ram and Ravan. We must have seen most of these. So you can imagine how the war was. So like this, Ram and Ravan, they were constantly attacking each other with all these kinds of splendorous arrows. Then Ravana, he used the missile that was built by Maya, the demon. And from that bow, blazing spikes, clubs, mazes, all these that were hard and strong started emanating. And Ram, he broke down this missile with the missile presided by the Gandharvas. So like this, Ravana with his coppery eyes and anger, he employed a missile presided over Sun God. And seeing the missile being combated by Ram, again Ravana released some arrows which went and hit Ram on all his vital parts. Now even though that Ravana struck Ram with these 10 arrows that had hit Ram on all his vital parts, Ram was not shaken. Then Ram, who's always victorious in battle, who is the most infallible, who got so angry, struck Ravana on all his organs with multitude of arrows. So in the meantime, now Ram was struck in his vital parts with these arrows. Ravana was also severely struck with arrows. So in the meantime, Lakshmana, who is the younger brother of Ram, he came forward just to give a break to Ram. So he took 7 arrows, and with those 7 arrows, he tore off Ravana's flagstaff, which bore the emblem of a man's head, and with a single arrow, he tore the head of Ravana's charioteer, and with 5 sharp arrows, he chopped off Ravana's bow that looked like a huge elephant's trunk, and like this, he started destroying the chariot of Ravana. Then bouncing forward, Vibhishana, he killed with his mace all the excellent horses of Ravana, which were looking like black clouds. So like this, Vibhishan and Lakshmana, they were giving a break to Ram when he was fighting. So they went forward and they killed the charioteer, the horses, and they broke down the chariot of Ravana. So then Ravana was very angry because unnecessarily he felt this Lakshmana was coming and interfering. So, and he was also angry with his brother Vibhishan because Vibhishan was creating so much havoc there. So then Ravana, he took a spear and he hurled it towards Vibhishan because his brother of mine is a big trouble, he thought. And he took a spear that was as bright as a thunderbolt. He took that and he hurled it on Vibhishan. Even before that spear could reach Vibhishan's chest, Lakshmana went forward and he tore off that spear with his arrow and he protected Vibhishan from dying. So when Ravana saw that Vibhishan was protected by Lakshmana and his spear was actually very powerful. Ravana's spear was very powerful. It is said that his spear was not even approachable by Yamaraj, who is the lord of death. So Ravana got very angry. He was very upset with Lakshmana for coming and protecting Vibhishan like that. So he said, see, I threw the spear so that this Vibhishan could die, but you came and you protected this Vibhishan. So I am not going to command the spear to go and kill you. You deserve to be killed. You, Lakshmana, you must die because of this. So then he directed that spear towards Lakshmana, and what happened was Ram, he was seeing the spear that was coming in full course. It was adorned with nice ringing bells. It was looking so bright. This was also designed by the demon Maya. So it had all kinds of magical capabilities. It was capable of destroying all kinds of enemies, and this spear came in full force and it came towards Lakshman. And it fell near Lakshman, and Ram kept telling that spear, may you become useless. May your effort get frustrated. He was cursing that spear. But still that spear came. It hit Lakshmana's chest. It penetrated deep within Lakshmana's chest, deep into his heart. And Lakshman fell down on the ground, trying to protect Vibhishan. Now seeing Lakshman in that state, Ram was so agitated. He became so sorrowful because of the love towards his brother. And Ram's eyes were filled with tears. And he got so angry. He was so angry. He was feeling so despondent at the same time. But then he thought, this is not the time to sit down feeling depressed. I must face this Ravana in the battle. So Ram resumed. In one hand, he was shooting weapons at Ravana. And at the same time, he saw Lakshmana, who was struck down by the spear. The spear had penetrated through Lakshmana's body. It had touched the earth. It had gone all the way so deep inside. And the Vanaras, who saw Lakshmana in this condition, they went running to Lakshmana and they were trying to remove the spear from his body. But this Ravana was not quiet. He was attacking these Vanaras continuously with arrows so that they were not, they could be stopped from removing the spear from Lakshmana's body. So then Ram saw all this, and then he went to the vicinity of Lakshman and he pulled out that spear from Lakshmana's body. Even while he was angrily pulling out the spear from Lakshmana's body, still Ravana was attacking him with all kinds of arrows. And Ram didn't, you know, in spite of being attacked by so many arrows, he didn't think about anything else but his brother. So he angrily took out that spear and he broke it with his hands. So then he embraced Lakshmana and he told Sugriva and Hanuman and others to quietly guard Lakshmana, make sure that nothing else hits him. So then he told, the time is nearing, this Ravana is going to be killed. And Ram, very loudly, he took a vow at that minute. He said, I take this vow in truth before you at this moment, O Vanaras. Very soon you will see this world devoid of either Ram or Ravana. I've had many losses. I was dwelling in the forest. I was wandering around in the woods of Dandaka. And all the demons have ill-treated me. They have ill-treated my dear wife Sita and they have handled her very roughly. And a great, terrible suffering has happened to me. And I've gone through so much agony that is equivalent to hell. Now, by taking Ravana in this battle, I will relieve myself of all that agony. That sinful demon for whose sake this army of Vanaras has been brought here by me, Sugriva has been anointed as the king. Vali was killed. The ocean was crossed. A bridge was built on it. Now, this Ravana has come within the range of death. I'm going to kill him today. Hey, Vanaras, you are all very, very good in the war. You're very difficult to conquer, but now you take rest. Go and sit, all of you. Take seat on huge mountain peaks and sit and witness battle between Ravana and myself. Let the three worlds, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, all the Gandharvas, the demigods, the sages, everybody see today what it is when Ram is in the battle. Let them witness my valor. Today, I will perform a great feat which people in the world, including all living beings, both mobile and immobile, demigods, Gandharvas, everyone will ever narrate together, describing how the battle proceeded as long as the earth is able to support those who occupy it. So even to this day, we are describing this battle. So Ram made a vow there. I will make sure that everyone talks about this katha till the end. As long as any living being is there on these three planets, everyone will be speaking Ram katha. This is what Ram has told. So, speaking like this, Ram, with a very attentive mind, he went to the battlefield and he started striking Ravana with very sharp arrows. And Ravana, in turn, he also started striking Ram with several arrows. And the audience, they were all watching. They were seeing this terrible encounter of Ram and Ravana. Ram tore apart all the arrows of Ravana and almost destroyed him. Ram was so fierce in the battle. He had just taken a vow. He was so fierce in the battle. His arrows were so intense that Ravana couldn't combat these arrows. The arrows of Ram almost destroyed Ravana. At this point, when Ravana was almost destroyed, he didn't know what to do. So just to save his life, Ravana took to his heels out of fear of Ram, and he ran out of the battlefield. Just like how a cloud goes away when it is pushed by a terrible storm. So the first time when Ravana encountered Ram and he was about to lose, Ram himself gave him a second chance. He told him, you go today and come back tomorrow. Take rest and come back. Now during the second encounter, Ravana himself fled away. He went away from the battlefield. He just couldn't tolerate the arrows of Ram because it got really, really intense after Ram taking this vow. So Bhaktacharya Maharaj explains, materially, Ravana looked very powerful. But when we see the Supreme Lord, he is actually the most powerful. So we must never give up taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. In Treta Yuga, Ravana was very, very powerful. He had conquered all the three worlds. But he was defeated by Ram and the Vanaras. In Kali Yuga, there are different kinds of demoniac forces. But when we heard Lord Ramachandra's pastimes like these, we get the courage and confidence to take inspiration from him, take shelter of him to face these forces. If we stand with Krishna, if we stand with Ramachandra, we really have nothing to fear. So when we hear these pastimes of Ramachandra, seeing his valor in the battlefield, seeing the compassion that he has towards his devotees, it inspires us to take more and more shelter of Lord Ram and be assured that Ram will protect us. So then Ravana left the battlefield and Ram began to lament over the condition of Lakshmana. He said, my limbs are actually shivering. I feel like my hands and legs are going to sink down and I have a serious tension in me. I feel like even dying seeing Lakshmana in this condition. He felt miserable to see his brother in that condition. So again, he calls out to Sushena, who is the doctor. And he tells Sushena, he sees Lakshmana still alive. And Sushena then looks at Lakshman and he tells, yes, yes, Lakshmana is still alive. So then Sushena requests Hanuman again to go all the way to the Himalayas, back to the herb mountain called as Mount Mahodhara or Aushadagiri. He tells him to go there and bring that mountain again. I mean, actually, he says you go and find these herbs, but eventually we know what Hanuman will do. He'll bring the mountain. But anyway, Sushena, he gives this instruction. He tells Hanuman, go to this Aushadagiri and find these herbs, Vishalya Karani, Suvarna Karani, Sanjeeva Karani, and Sandana Karani. We already spoke about these four herbs in the previous class. So again, Sushena gives this instruction, go find these herbs and bring them to me, and we can rescue Lakshmana from this condition. So immediately, Hanuman, taking the instruction on his head, he leaps off, he shouts Jai Shri Ram, and he crosses the ocean, and he traverses through the entire Bharatavarsha, and there he reaches the mountain, the Himalayan mountain, and he also reaches this Mount Mahodhara, or the Aushadagiri. But of course, as Hanuman is weak in botany and Ayurveda, he failed to identify the herbs there, so he decided he will do what he is good at. So again, he violently shook the mountain with his hands thrice, and he rips off the mountain, and he carries the mountain peak in his hand, and he flies back, and he brings the mountain back to Sushena, and he tells Sushena, you identify the herbs, and you only do it. So then Sushena comes, and everybody, and he picks the herbs, and everybody was so surprised to see how Hanuman, he does this very difficult task again and again. He did it for the second time now. So everyone was applauding Hanuman for the devotion and also the his determined mind. He could do anything for the service of Ram. So everyone was appreciating Hanuman. And then Sushena went, picked those four herbs. He crushed it. And then he administered it through the nose of Lakshmana, just like how you give nose drops. So in those days, these herbs were given as drops in the nose, no injections, direct nose drops. And Lakshmana, when he was given these drops, he regains his consciousness after he was treated by Sushena. Ram became very happy and he gladly called out to Lakshman. And he told Lakshmana, come here, come here. And he embraced Lakshmana very firmly with a lot of affection, with his eyes filled with tears of love. And then Ram told him, I'm so lucky to see you return from death. What is the use of anything to me if you are not there? Then Lakshmana tells his brother, my dear brother Ram, today you made a vow to kill Ravana. Ravana left the battlefield, he ran away, that's okay. But it's time for you to fulfill your promise now. You must kill Ravana as soon as possible. My dear respectable hero, my dear brother Ram, if you wish to fulfill your promise, if you feel any affection towards your wife Sita, please kill that Ravana as soon as possible. So he begged Ram to do it fast, to kill Ravana as soon as possible. Now Ravana, who had gone back to his city, he came back in a new chariot. Of course, he was really scared that he would die, so he ran away from the battlefield, but eventually he has to face Ram. So he took a new chariot, and he came back all energized to face Ram again. So in the forefront of battle, again a terrific battle ensued between Ram and Ravana. So Ram released terrific arrows towards Ravana, and this Ravana, occupying his new chariot, he was attacking Ram from all directions. So when this battle was going on, all the demigods, Gandharvas, Kinnaras, all of them, they felt that this battle was not an equal match, because Ram was standing on the ground and he was shooting arrows, whereas Ravana was fighting from the chariot. So they were all, you know, talking amongst themselves. They were all making comments, seeing this battle, that this is not the right way to do it. You know, it's an unequal fight. So hearing these nectar-like words from all the demigods and these Gandharvas, Indra actually heard these words. And he felt, yes, it is true. I must help at this time. So Indra, he called out to his charioteer by the name Mathali. And he told Mathali, Mathali, you go quickly. Take my chariot. You go quickly to where Ram is there in the battlefield. After reaching earth, after reaching the battlefield, invite him to take seat on this chariot and ask him to carry out the fight sitting on the chariot. So Mathali, you go and do this great service to him and also to the demigods. So hearing these words, Mathali, he took the instruction of his master and he proceeded with his chariot that were yoked with green horses. So with that chariot, he came down all the way from Swargaloka to earth where the battle was going on. And this chariot was so beautiful. It is described that this chariot of Indra was fully decked in gold. It was fitted with hundreds of tiny bells. The poles were decorated with cat-eye gems. It was yoked with green horses. It had white whisks. It was covered with golden necks on top. It was shining like the sun. It was bearing a long staff raised on a golden bamboo. So it was such a beautiful, gorgeous chariot that had come all the way in the service of Lord Ram. So sitting in the chariot, Mathali, he went and he approached Ram. And Mathali, along with the whip in his hand, he joined his palms paid obeisances to Lord Ram, and he told Ram, "Indra has sent this chariot to you for your victory. Oh, my dear Ram, please come. This chariot belongs to Indra. Indra has also given a bow, an armor, and also some arrows that are as bright as the sun. He has also given his auspicious spear. So take all of this. Heroic King Ram, come, mount on this chariot. And with me as the chariot here, go and kill Ravana." So Ram, immediately he could understand the mood of Indra, and he was thankful. He accepted the offer. He circumambulated the chariot as a mark of respect. He offered obeisances to the chariot. And then with a lot of respect, Ram ascended the chariot for the pleasure of all the three worlds. And a thrilling battle began between Ram and Ram and Ravana. So we will stop here for today. And I thought we could finish in one more class, but we need two more classes. So here is the options that we have. I really want to do Rama Pattabhishekam, that is the final, coronation ceremony of Ram along with Lakshman, Sita and Hanuman on Rama Navami, which is the coming Sunday, 25th. So we have these options. One is we can do a class on Saturday, which includes killing of Ravan and Ram and Sita, Lakshman, all of them getting ready to go back to Ayodhya. We can do that on Saturday and do Rama Pattabhishekam on Sunday, which is Ram Navami. Or we can do this class, this is part 8, right? We can do part 9 on Friday if Lalitangi Mataji permits. And Sunday we can do Rama Pattabhishekam. Or on Sunday itself, we can have a two-hour class and we can finish parts 9 and 10. So the option is with you. You all can tell me which will suit you best. And we can finish off Rama Pattabhishekam on Rama Navami. And as requested by many devotees, many people have already requested that they want to hear Uttara Ramayanam, which is Uttarakanda. And also we got some permission from some senior devotees, because this is Uttarakanda is not so much openly... Generally, they don't give classes on Uttarakanda. So I did speak to many devotees, and in fact, one devotee even approached a Maharaj to get permission. So I think Bhakti Sundar Maharaj, Bhakti Sundar Maharaj said it is okay. But again, it is up to everybody if we want to hear Uttarakanda. So two things now I would request the devotees to tell me is how shall we split the classes? Either should we have it on Saturday and Sunday, or Friday and Sunday, or Sunday 2 hours? That is one thing. Second thing is your opinion about Uttarakanda. So I will stop here. If you have any corrections, comments, or questions, please go ahead at this time. Hare Krishna. Let me see if I have to unmute everybody. Yes, you can go ahead now with questions and answers.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Lalitangi Mataji, so happy to hear you.
Yeah, I'm so sorry and unfortunate to have missed so many sessions. I'm a great fan of your lectures, and this is like amazing, amazing, amazing. You've taken us directly there. You're such a Pauranika that you can transport the listeners to that place, Mataji. And thank you so much, and I pray that you continue this service more and more. And regarding the second thing, I don't have a problem if all the devotees choose to listen on Friday.
Okay. Yeah, so, we have to ask your permission before we go ahead with Friday. Yes. Thank you, Mataji. And let's see what the other devotees say. Thank you so much, Lalitangi Mataji, for your association, coming on the call. And I must say, you are actually the root cause of this Ramayana to become a full series, because you had asked on... when we did the Balakanda to complete the series. So thank you so much. I'm very indebted to you. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, please Virasani Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Ramayana, all glories to Valmiki. Thank you so much again. It's just, I don't know, I don't even have words to describe how how moved I am by the whole narration that you give. So many thoughts came to my mind as I was thinking about, as the different things you were saying. The first thought that came to my mind was thinking about the mood of a devotee versus a mood of someone who's not. You know, if something goes wrong, we blame the other person. You know, I mean, all the demonesses were blaming Swarpanakha. Ravana was blaming Sita. You know, they were the cause. Nobody, they're not accepting their own, you know, their own, you know, part in this whole thing. You know, don't you, you know, where is your intelligence? This is such an example for children. I mean, not just for children, for everybody. But, you know, like I said, Ramayana has so many, Ramayana has so many examples. You know, use your intelligence, use your discrimination. Don't blame others. Accept responsibility. You know, that's one side. And the other side, you see, you know, Lakshmana was saying that he was putting his full faith in Ram. He said, if he is dharmic and all this stuff, then, you know, this needs to work. So understanding, if I remember correctly, Hanuman did the same thing when, you know, he said, if Sita is really true, then the fire shouldn't hurt her. You know, this whole acceptance of knowing that the power behind me is the Lord, the Lord's name, the Lord, his personality, and all power comes to me through them. So the acceptance of that devotee, of accepting, you know, and then when the fault is there, even when the fault is not there, they accept a lot of the responsibility. This is my, you know, I need to fix this. So just this, that, just like I said, right in one episode, both two, you know, sides of that acceptance of, you know, responsibility just shows so perfectly the attitude of how we must be. Accept responsibility to make the good decisions. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. And also, if something goes wrong, even if it's maybe not your fault, accept responsibility and fix it. And more, and, you know, above all, remain faithful and hold on to those lotus feet of the Lord, and he will protect us. So thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. I always wait for these realizations that you give at the end of the class. So beautiful, so beautiful. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prithivilachini, Shishirada Gopinachi, Joy, Valmiki Raman ki, Joy. Haribol,
Haribol. Thank you, Mataji.
Because you are so pure Vaishnav, because of that only we feel that Leela when you are explaining the Leela. Yes, we are not qualified for anything, Mataji, but we like to hear. Dandvat, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. And I think that is the greatest qualification. Hear. Just by hearing, I think Krishna will bless us. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. All glories to Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna.
All glories to Guru and Gauranga. Yes, Mataji. Special mercy of Gurudeva you are. And you are working hard. Not only you, S.G. Komodika Mataji, Savitri Mataji, Adipadana Prabhu, all preachers, Ramagiri Prabhuji, everyone is working maybe 1 or 2 weeks, and only they prepare the lesson for us, and how devoted student we are, not taking seriously, Mataji.
Mataji, I think, ultimate credit goes to the hearer, right? Like, if the person who's hearing is sincere, then everything is so nice, so all credit goes to you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. As all the devotees have explained, it was so nice to hear from you. So thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Pavitra Madhavi, Mataji. Dandavat. So, Mataji, you say that you won't be able to join on Saturday and Sunday, is it?
Yes, Mataji, because we have a program in temple. We are going to temple on Saturday as well as on Sunday.
Yeah, okay. So, others can also give your... Because
give your opinion, if others can also give opinion. I thought we'll not skip Sunday because ultimately this whole year's work is only for that one day of Ramanavami. But Saturday we can compromise, right? If not many people are available, we can do it on Friday. So if anyone else has any preferences, please tell me.
Hare Krishna, Pitilasini Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Kamadaki Mataji.
Whenever you do it, it's very fine with me, whatever time. Oh. I just like to hear you, just very beautiful, madhura voice, and describing very nicely. That you just, that I just feel like I'm just there watching everything. So please do behave wherever, I mean, whenever, just fine with me. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Pramodaki Mataji. Thank you for always being there for us.
Preetivilasini Mataji, I would also prefer Friday and Sunday myself, just personally, and definitely go on to the Uttarakhanda also.
Okay.
So my.
Okay, then we will do Friday and Sunday. Lalitangi, yeah. Shyama Gauri Mataji, you wanted to say something?
Yes, Mataji, very, very wonderful class, Mataji, and very nice. See, you explain everything. It's like Lalitangi Mataji was saying, you have the potential, you can take all the everybody to that place. It's like, you know, we are into the past times like that. Thank you very much, Mataji. Wonderful class.
Thank you so much, Shyama Gauri Mataji, for very mercifully being there for us. Thank you so much. Okay. So then, I think we will do Friday and Sunday. Lalitangi Mataji, okay? Is that okay? If you're still there? Yeah, I think you're there.
Yes, Mataji. Yes, please.
Okay.
That'd be nice.
Okay, Mataji. So thank you again. Thank you all. If anyone else has any comments, questions, or anything to say, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for the beautiful narration. And I have this very silly question. What is the meaning of Kumbhakarna and Ravana?
Oh, Ravana means one who makes everybody cry. Ra, Rudati, you know, that is the root word. Who makes everyone cry. And Kumbhakarna... Kumbha is the you know, like the Kumbha is like a pot.
Water pot,
yeah. So head like the water pot, right?
Ears, Karna means ears.
Yeah.
But
ears,
yes,
like. So Mataji, did you name them like this, or they were just awarded such strange names?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. Anyone would like to answer that, if the parents named them or were they just awarded the name?
Yes, Mataji,
please go ahead, Mataji.
So this question was asked by someone to someone. I don't remember where I heard this conversation, that why Duryodhan, Dushasan, all is Duchala, that Du is itself is a, like a bad suffix. So how come the Gandhari sons were named like this, but Pandava's sons were named like Yudhishthira, Arjuna, one who's, you know, cannot be, all nice names. So then they said that that's why the naming is according to the astrology, where the what time they were born, what star, what titi, and what lagna and what letters it has to start with, and great sages. In the royal families, there are great amount of research that is done on this, and there are people who do the service of naming the kids. It was not random names. The names were had to be according to what the astrology, or at that point of time, the position of the planet says. So it happened that, you know, they were their planets were there, and then their lives were were reflective of what the rites would be reflective of. Those names were given to them. I mean, we see that even in Prabhupada's life, as soon as the child was born, the astrological calculation was done. same way in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela also. So that was the answer I could, I remember this somebody gave Mataji, just wanted to add that. And of course, Ravana made so many people cry, including the God of Fortune herself, finally.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. I think, I was again thinking about Kumbh Karana. Karana means year, right? So is that correct, Kaumudaki Mataji?
Yeah, Karna.
Yeah, so Kumbha is pot and Karna is here. Okay.
Ruchi Mataji, is that you who asked the question?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, so right? Can I take this opportunity to answer one more question that you had sent me? Just a quick
question. Yes, Mataji.
You had asked about that in the 14th chapter of Lord Chaitanya, how. It said that one hair of Vishnu gave one grey hair and one white hair to Devaki and Rohini, and they've gone. But we know that Vasudeva is, from the heart, he passed on to Devaki. So yesterday I had the opportunity to ask this question to Rohini Priya Prabhu, and he had answered that when Krishna comes himself, which doesn't happen in every day of Brahma. Of course, Krishna comes once a day of Brahma, but when he comes himself as a Vrajendra Nandan, Krishna, then, he goes, he chooses from Vasudev's heart to Devaki's heart. And when he had come from the previous kalpas, this is how, he had come. And in that paragraph, Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada explains that Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Baladev Vidya Bhushan have explained in detail about this. So when Krishna comes as an incarnation of Vishnu in some day of Brahma, this is how it's described that it came. And then when Krishna comes himself as Swayam Bhagavan, he appears from Vasudev's heart to Devaki's heart. And also he said, every time, the Lord keeps appearing in different yugas, in different ways to uphold the dharma. So it's not exactly the same. And he gave the example that a mother can give birth to two children, but it needn't be the same way. First child is born with less labor, second child with C-section, something like that. There are differences. So in our own, when giving birth, there is differences. Then what about when the Supreme Lord appears? So there are differences, and Bhagavata Purana is like filled with descriptions that happened in Swayambhu Manu's period. But it could be that they are explaining Varaha Avatar, Shweta Varaha Kalpa, and Rakta Varaha Kalpa, and there in one place the killing of Hiranyaksha was not mentioned, in the other it was mentioned. So he was explaining that that's the difference. But this time all the acharyas have confirmed that Krishna himself personally have come. So that's why he gives the highest, that the love for him. That's the answer that he gave, Mataji. Just wanted to share that. And thank you so much. I'm so sorry for the delay. I was looking for someone to ask this question in person. And thank you for reading and asking these questions, Mataji.
Thank you for taking so much effort in finding the answer, Mataji.
Hare Krishna,
Mataji. Can I ask last question? Mataji, Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji is born before 500 years, and the Leela, how many years the Leela is going on? Someone newcomer is asked this question, but I am not able to qualify.
48. Am I right? Yes, Mataji. He was here for 48 years.
48 years. Thank you, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you, Lalitangi Mataji, for the very nice answer. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. thanks to all the Mataji for asking questions. I'm just a postman job. I get answers from visiting devotees and Prabhu. Thank you, Mataji.
So even I, when you were talking about this, even I was thinking about how in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes in that purport about Kapila, when Kapila Muni, he takes birth, it says that he took shelter in the semen of Kardama. The Lord can take shelter and appear in any way he likes. So one must not think that, oh, this might not be possible with the Lord. But of course, when he comes as Krishna, it's very different. Mm.
Wow.
Mm.
Thank you, Mataji. Yeah.
No, when I think it was Kashyapa and Aditi, when they were bringing forth Vamanadeva or something, or maybe it was Kapila, I don't remember. In one of the purports, Prabhupada had told.
I think it is Kapila Munis.
Kapila.
Okay. It is Kapila. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Kashyapa. He sees that it reaches his heart, right, or something like that. He feels a glow or something. Prabhupada says, like, he feels very happy. He feels Vamanadeva has entered, and then eventually Vamanadeva appears. Yeah, you're right, Kapila Mataji. Yeah. Thank you all so much, and thanks for the beautiful question and answers. We can end the call. Vancha kalpataru vishcha kripa sindhu devacha patitanam pavanebhyo.